Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Andrew Hale. Let's pray before we start. Lord, as we continue to come before you in prayer, that's what you want. That's what you seek. That's what you're after, is our attention, our words, to declare before you even what you already know. But you want us. And as we've seen that declared in words over one another or in music or in a message to come, Lord, you're speaking. May we listen. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, if he's watching, we'll say hey to Pastor Brock. He is away on a mentor's weekend. So you've got me today, but it's going to be good. It's going to be good. Does anybody know someone in your life, maybe it's you, who always puts salt or pepper on your food before you taste it? A couple people, maybe some elbows are happening there. Is that just a Midwest thing, or is that like worldwide? I don't know. Because I think of, you know, the rest of the world, there's a lot of flavors, there's a lot of different things out there that maybe we don't use in the Midwest. A couple seasonings I think of that we might use are taco seasoning. And those are pretty easy, straightforward, pulled out of a packet. That's pretty nice. Barbecue seasoning, pretty standard Midwest. Anybody like barbecue seasoning? There's a few, and a couple different flavors. More of a sweet or more of a spicy preference? Sweet, spicy, both. Perfect, good blends here. If you don't know, we're entering the fall season, and so that means that pumpkin spice is coming back. Whether you love it or you hate it, it is here. Maybe when you make your steaks, do you have a favorite seasoning or a favorite flavor you tend to put on it? Anybody? Tom, you've got one. Diane outed you. Garlic pepper steak seasoning, maybe. Or maybe you get a little crazy and you go with the Chipotle Creole spice rub. Or maybe even you put on there's a type of powder. It's called Worcestershire sauce powder. I think that may be the closest I've ever gotten to saying that correctly. I saw a meme the other day that said, if my life depended on it, I would not make it through saying that word correctly. But I think one of the most popular seasonings that's out there, anybody have any guesses, most popular seasoning that's out there? Salt, well, this is true. There's a reason, ketchup with salt mixed in. I was going to say fast food seasoning. They seem to know what we want to have in our mouths. Maybe it is just the salt that's in it, I don't know, but fast food seasoning. Well, growing up, Sunday night, such as tonight, for Jessica and I both, was frozen pizza night. Anybody relate to that? Frozen pizza night, Sunday night. Growing up, Jessica would even get home from school, and she'd take those little English muffins or even just a slice of bread and would make her own little pepperoni pizzas that she would make growing up. Well, just a couple weeks ago, Jessica and I made our own pizza fret home. From scratch-ish. The sauce was made from scratch. Everything else came from a tube or a packaging. But it's homemade. It's homemade. We made it ourselves. Enjoyed making this. And we made the pizza. We just bought the crust from the store, from Meijer. Props to them. And Jessica had made the sauce. You know, we had tomatoes from our garden. We've grown a garden the last few years. And so she had made the sauce, you know, put the tomatoes in hot water and then cold water. Is that the right order? Perfect. And then de-skinned them and then mashed them up, put them in a pot, and mixed them in with some other seasonings to get that pizza-esque flavor. And we made enough, she made enough, that we got to freeze some, so we're going to get to make more of our homemade pizzas over the next few, however long we make those last. But I loved it. It was awesome. I was very careful with how much sauce I put on because Jessica likes sauce, but not too much. And I like a lot of sauce, so we had to have that balance somehow. And it's not terribly easy to put X amount of sauce on one side and another amount of sauce on the other. You can do it with toppings, but not so much the sauce. So I was very careful with that part of it. And then we both like cheese. It's a problem. And so we had a whole bunch, a mountain of mozzarella cheese on there, and then we put on some sausage and pepperoni, and I loved it. I would do that over frozen pizza every time. So if you ever want homemade pizza, you can make your own. So because we ate the whole thing. But as we think about our lives as part of the seasoning process, if you would, throw back up that flavor slide there, Jackson. As we think about our lives as the seasoning process, or we're adding flavor to our lives, who is it or what is it? What are we allowing to season our lives? And what are we seasoning other people's lives with? For Joe, it's ketchup. But do we season others with maybe pessimism, cynicism, with negativity, or do I choose to flavor other people's lives with encouragement, optimism, belief in them, speaking words of life? Maybe another way to put it would be, do we season with what the Lord provides, with what the Lord commands, what the Lord describes in His Word, or do we just choose whatever seasonings or flavors we are feeling that day, whatever flavors or seasonings we choose? Because if I am left to season something, as I said, Jessica was the one that made the sauce. If I am left to season something, I know that it is going to come out okay. It'll be all right. It'll come out okay. But if the possibility of something better is out there, the possibility of getting a better flavor, of getting a better influence in our lives, wouldn't we want to take hold of that? Don't we always want the secret family recipe that grandma is going to take to her grave, is not willing to share with the rest of the family? But the cool part is that God hasn't kept the recipe a secret. He doesn't have these special herbs and spices that He hides away, but He makes them available for us to, one, be influenced, seasoned by, and to then also flavor other people with. And we have that spelled out in Scripture. That's part of the reason we have the Bible. I also have with me this thing called a Would You Like to Know God Personally booklet. In the past, they've been called tracts, or they've had other names, pamphlets, leaflets. But when I was in college, we had the KGPs, not the KGBs. Had to be very careful when we said it. The KGP booklet that we would carry around with us to help us as a tool to help share the gospel when we were having spiritual conversations with people on campus and beyond. But is it possible that the seasonings and flavors that the Lord uses are better than what we use on our own? Yeah, maybe we're clever enough to figure out a variety of combinations. I like a little bit of this, a whole lot of that, get out what I want to make sure that my burger, my pork, my vegetables, whatever it might be, are just the way that I like them. And as we're moving forward here, I just want to take a moment to pause and say that what I'm going to say next isn't saying don't take ownership of our life. As we've heard from Pastor Brock give messages on own our lives, own our responsibilities, take responsibility for whatever it is, whoever it is in our lives that we have influence over, whether it's our children, our spouses, our family, our friends, our coworkers, whoever it might be. But I want us to think about the fact, not the idea, the fact that our lives as Christians are not our own. Our lives are not our own. We own our lives, and yet our lives are not our own. Because the Lord created life, and so wouldn't He be the one who owns our lives? Wouldn't He have the knowledge and the recipes that bring about results better than we could even imagine? Are we willing to consider that His plans, His will, it's possible that He has so much more in store than we believe? Is it possible that He even has more to say than what we typically think of in response? Maybe I've got some good words to say, or I can love on you, but if I'm not led by the Spirit, if I'm not in Jesus, am I making a difference? Maybe. But is it possible we can have a bigger sphere of influence? Even if it's over the same person, do I have more of a sphere of influence there? Is it possible He wants more out of life for us than what we consider a successful life? What we consider a successful life in the U.S. might be different than a different country, in a different part of the world, in a different time period in history. But is it possible that what He wants for us is bigger and badder and better than what we consider a successful life? And many times the suggested answer to that is prayer. Many times the suggested answer is, well, we'll pray on it. We'll take care of one another by praying over that. And offering prayer can be seen as a passive thing. It's like, I'll pray for you. Are you really praying for that person? I'm guilty of doing that from time to time. I'll pray for you. Yeah, I'm thinking of you. I've got you in my thoughts. I've got these other thoughts that I'm really focused on, but that's what you're supposed to say, right? But if we see prayer as passive and unhelpful, how is that doing anything that's actually going to benefit that person? We want some sort of benefit for that person. That's why we say, I'm going to pray for you. I want the Lord to intercede on your behalf. But I'll tell you, I hear that thought and I raise you to come to the Lord of all things with the power who has the power to move mountains and the desire to change souls. He is capable. And so to have him intercede with prayer is so much more involved than what we tend to think. We tend to think we need to pray and then do. And yes, we do. But if we're not starting with prayer, if we're not founded in prayer, if we're not doing that first, understanding that we're coming to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, it doesn't matter. Our actions, our words, it doesn't matter if we're not grounded in him. Are we willing to hear how he would do this? Or do we pray and then go do what we think is best? Are we willing to surrender to Jesus what we value? Are we willing to surrender to Jesus what we want to be true? And are we willing to admit or maybe even consider the idea that the creative master of the entire universe, of you in particular, wants to season us into the masterpiece he had in mind when he created you? And I also don't want to go down the road of I want to better myself, I want to become a better version of me, and I'll be more like Jesus, and he's going to love me more, and he's going to bless me more. And I think we can easily get sucked into that if I just live a good life, if I even live a life that is alive, that he's just going to bless. My life's going to be good. And I think that while there is not falseness there, I think that what we can get into is getting sucked into the mindset of that limits the Lord and what he wants to actually do in the world. So the question that comes to mind for me is God limited by our unwillingness to say yes? And I think my answer is that we are limited by our willingness to say no. Because if we believe in Jesus, a big piece of belief is then acting. It's learning to act and live in ways that he tells us will ultimately result in his will coming to pass in our lives and in the world. Do we actually believe that? Or do we believe that God is kind of somewhat involved, but things are happening and they're out of his control? If that's where we're at, we've missed it. He is so involved. And while it's so difficult to see maybe right now in the midst of all that's going on, whatever you might be thinking of right now and what's going on, he is so present and so wants to be involved. He so wants to be involved. And it's so easy to unintentionally say no to him. Because ultimately, the result is that his will come to pass. But we are all, as followers of Jesus, we're called to a purpose. Each of us, not just the pastor, not just the music leader, not just whoever gave special music, each of us is called to a purpose, and we read it in Matthew 28. You've probably heard it before. If you haven't, here we are. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And I share that because so often we can, as we tend to say, show up on Sunday morning and do our lives the rest of the week, or we go to women's group, or we go to men's group, or whatever it might be, are we living this out? And we're not just saying, hey, I'm going to live this out, I'm going to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. I want to demonstrate that in how I live, not because I want to be better, but because he is better known because of how I am choosing to live. I'm choosing him every morning, every night, every meal, every day. I may have talked about this before, but Mr. Skip Lewis has helped pull this together with some of the stuff as far as digging the trench, but I have a barn in our backyard that was built, but it didn't have any electricity in it. And so with his expertise alongside some of his resources, we were able to install, go ahead and show that picture, electricity in the barn. And so I was able to install all of the outlets, all of the light fixtures. I'm real excited about it because you can walk in and actually see both during the day and at night But it was a cool thing because we used people's knowledge, a lot of YouTube videos, a lot of images on Google, bouncing ideas off of different people, Bill Lowe. And I researched all that I could to learn how to do it. Now, if I had to go do that in someone else's barn and they had different ideas on what they wanted to do, I couldn't do it. But I know how to do it in this barn. So if somebody comes and rips it out, I can do that one again. But once I have the knowledge, I found it somewhat straightforward. I was able to know what to do, you know, twist this here, make sure that this is pulled through, make sure this is nailed down the way it's supposed to be. And then if you notice there in the middle of that picture, there is a pop-up camper that Jessica and I purchased here recently. It kind of popped up on Facebook Marketplace all of a sudden, and it was in Swayze, and you're like, well, we'll go take a look. We just sold our car. We've got some cash. And so we ended up choosing to purchase this pop-up camper, and we didn't have a way to bring it home. So we had some help from the Meyer family with their hitch attachment on their vehicle. But we have since purchased a hitch. I still need to get a ball, but you know, we're working our way there. I've moved it by myself a few times with my arms and hands, but it's got wheels. It's not like I picked it up. But as I was approaching this, my in-laws came over with some family last week, and I was talking to them. You know, we've got this hitch attachment I need to put on, but I've got the electrical piece to connect to the vehicle so that way we can run electricity on the lights whenever we're driving down the road, but I haven't figured out how to do it yet, and I just don't really know what to do. And so he grabs the packaging and rips it open, and there's instructions right there. He said, well, this is how you do it, and there's even pictures. 11 steps. I said, 11? Why 11? Why couldn't it have been 10 or 12 to make it an even number? 11. But we'll do that. But how interesting is it that I sought out all of this information on how to do this electrical project and then immediately turned around and said, I don't know what to do. I'm going to throw my hands in the air. I don't know how to figure it out yet. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just going to figure it out, I guess. Well, we don't have to guess. We don't have to guess. We don't have to guess. Well, I might have to guess on this, but we don't have to guess in life. We don't have to guess in our faith. We don't have to guess in our religion. We make life and religion and faith complicated very easily. We like to live in the gray when Scripture makes it very black and white. Does it have to be complicated? Matthew 11:30 says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Who is seasoning your life? Excuse me. Who is seasoning your life? Who are those people that are influencing, flavoring you, or that you are flavoring? As I thought about, you know, what are some actual practical takeaways from this idea of flavor or seasoning, I thought of grilling pork chops, keeping with the seasoning flavor. Grilling pork chops. Apparently, I'm decent at it, according to Jessica. More than decent. She says I'm a master, and I say, hold on. Don't give my head too big. But all I do with pork chops is a little seasoning salt, and you throw it on there. Easy, straightforward, simple, not too long. And it's so good. So with that, if we're looking at grilling pork chops and it's straightforward and easy, I would suggest the parallel to that is that surrendering our purpose and passion to Jesus is straightforward and easy. As at least in the mind it is. To actually apply it might be a little more in depth. We have to actually cook the pork as well. But to surrender our purpose and passion to Jesus, are we actually willing to do that? Are we actually doing that? I can acknowledge that I need Jesus. I can acknowledge that I have a need, but am I actually surrendering my life? Am I actually surrendering every worry that I have? Am I actually surrendering every concern that I have? Am I surrendering my thoughts and opinions on politics? Am I surrendering my thoughts and opinions on that person and this person? Am I actually surrendering everything? I think of Many times we'll pray for a miracle, right? Whether it's a medical thing or something else happening in life. And we want that miracle. We want that person to be healed. We want to be healed. But sometimes we get so wrapped up in wanting and desiring and needing that miracle that we lose sight of the miracle worker. We lose sight of the person who is actually the one that can heal us or can actually redeem us or can actually restore us. Second piece is grilling chicken. How I found grilling chicken, the best way to get a good flavor is to marinate it in some sort of seasoning or flavor. Our go-to is Italian dressing. Just marinate that, easy, straightforward. But what needs to happen is it needs to soak, right? The chicken needs to soak in it. It needs to spend time there. It needs to spend an immense amount of intimate relationship with the chicken. We need that time to spend with the Lord. Are we pursuing knowing him? In addition to whatever we typically do, are we actually seeking him out, or has it become a to-do list? Is it part of a task? Am I intimately in relationship with him where I'm able to speak, where I'm able to hear and act? Am I actually in that position where I'm surrendered to him so that I'm actually intimately in pursuing of knowing him, spending time in the word? It's straightforward. If we spend time in it, it's going to become clear. If we spend time in it, it's going to make sense. There's other pieces to the story than just what you have in that one letter. There's other pieces in that one verse. Look at the context. And then look at the context of the narrative that the Lord is writing throughout time, throughout history, throughout the future, but also in our now. And then we can't forget grilling the squash, zucchini, and potatoes that we're going to have with our meal tonight. If you're cooking vegetables, I have found that those need to be on the grill first because they take so much time. They require some oil, some seasoning to make sure that we then wrap them in foil packets or we put them in a grilling basket. And we have to keep an eye on them. We have to be constantly going back to them and saying, hey, make sure that this isn't burning. Make sure that I'm not opening the foil packet too soon so then all the steam comes out and all the potatoes don't quite get as done as they need to be. I've done that a few times. But as we're grilling that squash, as we're grilling that zucchini, as we're grilling those potatoes, we're constantly going back to, Lord, I trust you. Lord, I'm coming back to you. Lord, I know that you are in the lead. Lord, I know that you have a plan. Lord, I know that you are moving. I know that you're active. I'm not necessarily seeing it right now. I'm still surrendered to you, Lord. I'm spending time with you, and I trust you. You're going to carry me through. We think of that footsteps poem of he carries us at times. But we also have our steps that we need to be taking, and that is continually going back to him. It's continually saying, Lord, I need you. Lord, I'm here. Lord, I don't understand. Lord, I don't know what's going on. Lord, what is happening right now? Why would you allow that to happen? Why would you cause that to happen? Why is this taking place? I think we have to be cautious with our why questions. We should ask them, but it can become accusatory and become, Lord, what are you doing? Lord, I'm surrendered to you. Lord, I'm surrendered to you. A week and a day ago, I was asked to officiate my first wedding, and it went well. I didn't talk about chicken or squash or pork chops, although that might have been fitting with, it's Jessica's cousin, and he really only eats meat and potatoes, so. But I was always preparing for the day and getting some time with them, asking some questions, getting to know them just a little bit better. You know, we were looking at pieces of the ceremony, pulling some of those pieces in, kind of cutting a couple pieces out. You know, what do they want out of their service for their marriage union as they were entering into covenant? And what I'm wanting us to do here is to focus on the covenant relationship that we have with the Lord and that we also enter into with our spouses. And out of that trickles our relationships with our families and our children and beyond. And so for those that are married, maybe the recipe you have for marriage works. I'm not going to pretend that I know how it all works. After I share this, Jessica and I may have a conversation about some of the things I'm not doing that I'm going to say we should be doing. But perhaps the recipe that the Lord provides for covenant, whether it's in marriage or in relationship with Him, is it possible that He has better flavors and better seasonings that we could take advantage of, that we could take hold of and apply in our recipe? For those that aren't married, whether it's because of whatever reason or just because you're young or whatever reason it is, these might be goals to aim for, things to keep in mind as you are seeking out that significant other, whoever that person might be, goals to aim for, focuses to keep in mind. And if these aren't being lived out, maybe that person needs to be somebody else. But I want to challenge you with a few words of flavor or seasoning when it comes to covenant. These are the same ones that I used for our marriage for Ryan and Becky last week. And as I said, they'll trickle into how we treat our children, our friends, or even maybe our in-laws. First word is reverence. That we would revere this man or this woman. We would revere the Lord. The person that we are entering into covenant with and union with, it is so exclusive. Nobody comes in between. Is that the same for our relationship with the Lord? Do we revere Him? Nobody comes in between. Nobody, not even our spouse. Nobody gets more special reverence than the Lord gets and than that our spouse gets. Second word is honor. Honor with our words, with our attitudes, with our actions, with how we approach and engage with that person. We honor him or her with how we look at him or her. We can tell a whole story just by the expression on our face. We can honor her by not rolling our eyes. We can honor him by when he walks in the room, he steals your gaze and you honor him with that preferential treatment. When we see the Lord move or act, do we honor him? Do we recognize that and point that out and say, hey, do you see that? This is what the Lord did. I want to share that with you. That preferential treatment leads to number three of prefer. We have preference to want to be with that person more than anyone else on the planet, to be with the Lord more than anyone else on the planet. I'm not just saying words here. I mean it. Do we seek Him more than anyone else, more than our family, more than our friends, more than our girlfriends, more than other people? He is preferred more than anyone else. Number four is praise. Build them up with your encouraging words. And as we speak words of affirmation, as we speak the love languages, there is nothing cooler for a man than to know his girl is in his corner. To speak those words of life, to tell him he has it going on, that he is the man in the home and in your life. And there's nothing cooler for a woman than to know that her man is in her corner. Cheering her on, rooting for her, speaking encouragement and support, that she has got it going on as the woman in his life. And every day invalidating them with encouraging words. And this one is kind of maybe weird to translate to the Lord, but do we praise him? Do we validate who he is and what he is doing? Do we declare what he has done and what he is going to do? Every day, every interaction, every relationship, every conversation. Lord, you're good. Lord, I don't know what to say here. This person, I don't know how to talk to them. This is kind of usually an awkward conversation, but I'm going to talk to them. Validate the Lord. Treasure is number four, to treat as of great worth, rare, and costly. Relationship with the Lord is rare. It's not everywhere. Not everybody gets it. Not everybody has it. That's why the Lord says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. The Lord is not the norm. Not everybody is that way. He is different. He is not human. He is perfect. And there's something specifically different about that covenant marriage relationship. There's something different about that person. And that person should be treasured more than any other person on the face of a planet, of the planet. And then number six is cherish. To cherish each other, to cherish the Lord, to hold dear, feel or show affection for, to keep warm. Maybe a word picture for that is someone taking care of a fire constantly grooming a fire, putting another log on the fire, to have this fiery affection in your heart for the Lord. And that is what it means to cherish. When we got our puppy dog, Lucy, we joked about how she was going to help us learn how to become a parent. We didn't realize how much we were joking. But it's been nothing like, I don't know what I said. The last 6.5 weeks have been great with Kaylin. She's been slowly starting to sleep more at night, which is wonderful for Jessica specifically. But the last 6.5 weeks have been so, so good. Fun, enjoyable, hard, frustrating, tiring, exhilarating. I love it. And she is so helpless, she's so needy, and we are exactly who is supposed to fill that need. Every time. And just the other night, I was whispering to her while holding her, "You're safe." And she was just looking up at me. And I want to flavor and season her life, right? We want to flavor and season our children's lives, no matter how old they are or how young they are or how young they think they are. And so that when she approaches life, she's surrendered to Jesus. She's pursuing him and his will, and she's trusting that he is working and active and present. And I want her to bring the flavors and seasonings of reverence, honor, preference, praise, treasuring, and cherishing to life. And the only way I know how to do that is to surrender and pursue and trust. And can we do the same for our children, for our parents, for our relatives, for those people around us who need it? The best thing we can do is to love. Let's pray. Lord, as you are present today and you're present in our lives every day, as we experience you in different ways, as we see where you're moving and we see where you are wanting us to move and to speak, and maybe we're too willing to say no, Lord, change our no's to yeses. And may we seek after treasuring and cherishing and praising and preferring and honoring and revering you, Lord, number one. Our spouse, number two. Our family and friends and beyond. Lord, as you are speaking, we're grateful that we get to hear and listen and acknowledge and admire. Lord, you're good. You're good, you're good, you're good. You hear me pray. Amen. So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.